Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formative introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Chof Beis. We continue with the topic of shnios, those type of forbidden marriages that are rabbinically forbidden. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we have written shnios de Bei Rabbi Chiya. This was referenced earlier in the Gemara, a list that comes forth from the yeshiva of Rabbi Chiya of additional rabbinically forbidden relations. The list here is divided into two parts. The underlining that you can see in this framed section, Shlishi and then Revi, represents third generation and fourth generation. So that in addition to the erva per se, which is the Isur del Raisa, we have additional generations that indicate something is also only midrabanan. So let's see the source. The Gemara says, Toni Debei Rabbi Chiya, a Tanaic source from the Yeshiva Rabbi Chiya, Shlishi, third generation, Shebivno, Vishebabito, Vishebaben Ishto, Vishebabas Ishto, equals Shnia. The next list, Rvi'i, Shebechomiv v'shebechamoiso shnia. Chomiv is one's father-in-law, chamoso is one's mother-in-law. A fourth generation, going up into earlier generations, that equals a shnia. Now, for a little more insight into this, we look at Rashi on the second line from the top, Shlishi Shebivno, Bas, the daughter of Ben Bino, the daughter of one's grandson. Ben Bino is the son of your son. That's a grandson. So you're dealing with a great-granddaughter. Daha Bas Bino Erva. One's granddaughter, one's son's daughter, she is an Erva. She's an Isur Doraisa. Moving ahead one generation, you see the Isur Derabanan. The next Rashi, Vishibibito, Bas Ben Bito, the daughter of one's granddaughter. She's a Shnia. Share Bas Bito, one's granddaughter, is an Erva. Hilkoch Bas Ben Bito Shnia. Therefore, the great-granddaughter is called a Shnia. That's an additional generation, making her only rabbinic in prohibition. Vechein Bas Ben Bino Shelishtoi, the daughter of one's wife's granddaughter. If a woman is married to you, but she had children from a previous marriage, so here we are referring to her great-granddaughter. That's the Bas, the daughter of Ben Bino, of her grandson. O Bas Ben Bita, or the great-granddaughter coming from her, again, her grandson, the son of her daughter. The next Rashi, Revi Shebechomiv, we say fourth generation from father-in-law. What does that mean, practically speaking? Dor Revi Shebechomiv, fourth generation within the father-in-law track. Vahainu, and what is that? What does that mean? Aim, we're going again to previous generations. Aim Chomiv. So that would be his father-in-law's mother's mother, or his father-in-law's grandmother. It would be your great-grandmother-in-law. Vudor Revi Ishto, Ishto Bichlal. She's called fourth generation if you count from your wife. So you see we have a little chart here we circled on this chart the two key players, if you will. We're saying that this man, the Baal, is forbidden with the aim chomiv. So you can see Baal is circled. He's married to Isha, to his own wife, and his wife has a father. That's will be your father-in-law. If we just say Baal is you, it'll be your father-in-law. And you see that father-in-law has a grandmother. So it's your wife's great-grandmother. So counting from your wife, the great-grandmother, when you count inclusive, she is a fourth generation. Hence the term Revi'i. Shebechomiv. Revi'i is fourth generation, counting from your wife. Shebechomiv through your father-in-law. You'll notice we have a chart just above this that's entitled Bas Ben Binah. We had a singular star in the Rashi, where if you look at this chart, you'll also note there are four generations. If you were to start counting from your wife, this chart describes your wife's great-granddaughter. But in the Gemara text, we saw this described as Shlishi Shebeven Benah. So the question the Gemara opens up with is why, when it comes to going into future generations, do we say that it's a third, a Shlishi, and we basically do not count your wife in the generational scheme of things, but when it comes to your the earlier generations, there we do count your wife. Omar le Ravina le Ravashi, Maishno lemala dekachoshiv lo leishto. We said Revi'i shebechomiv. There we count your wife, as you can see in the chart that we have labeled aim chomiv. Umaishno lemata. Now here we have to be very careful. Here lemata is referring to the chart that we have on the side Bas Ben Beno. That's going down generations. Delo kochoshiv lo leishto. There we do not consider your wife in the counting. So if we look at the chart, this is a new chart for us, the Bas Ben Beno. You see a man married to his wife, and the daughter, it's his great-granddaughter, it's the Bas, the daughter of your son's son. It's your son's granddaughter, your great-granddaughter. And there, we say that is lamata, and we don't count the wife in that scheme. The Gemara answers, lamala, when you're dealing with the earlier generations, the isura mikoyach ishtoi ka'asi, there the isur has to come through your wife. As far as the source is concerned, we spoke about the Revi Shebechomiv Shebechamosa, those are your father-in-law or mother-in-law. Their respective grandmothers are usur to you. But they became usur to you through your wife. Your wife is an integral part of that scheme. So when going to the earlier generations in this particular source of Rabbi Chia, where the wife is an essential part, so she is part of the counting. Lamata, the Isura Lav Mikoyach Ishto Kasi, when you're dealing with Lamata, as we saw in Bas Ben Beno, there, your great-granddaughter, you weren't, the Isur had nothing to do necessarily with your wife. You might have had that great-granddaughter from a previous marriage. So lo, kachoshiv lo, so your wife is not counted in the scheme of things. The Gemara asks, "Vaha ben ishto, bas ishto, the isura mikoyach ishto kasi, velo chashiv lo." In that very same list, we had four examples in the Tanaic source that we refer to as the Debei Rebbe Chia source. Examples 3 and 4 in that source, and we had a chart for one of them. we had Bas ben Bino Shelishto. Now the first chart on our page, there the wife is in the generational scheme of things. Your wife's great-granddaughter is also to you only because you had married your wife. And yet, in that case, the wife is not counted. Why not? The Gemara answers, Aidi v'tona shloisha duras lemato didei v'lo choshva. Since three generations below you were counted. We say three generations below you means excluding yourself, where we didn't count the wife, as we saw in the example of Bas ben Bino, your own great-granddaughter, where we didn't need to count your wife. So when dealing with the equivalent coming through your wife's great-granddaughter, Tono Nami Sholosh Doros Lamato Dito Velo Chashova, when dealing with your wife's great-granddaughter, we didn't count her either. In other words, to maintain the balance of things, just like when counting, when referring to your own granddaughter, there was no need to make reference to your wife. So too, when referring to your wife's great-granddaughter, since it's also an example of a great-granddaughter, so the source didn't count her in the generational scheme of things either. So there's a difference between the case of Ravi Shebechom v'Shechamo. So there we got to the great-grandmother of your wife. Your wife was a featured player there. She was the exclusive player in the Ravi scheme of things. It was your wife's great-grandmother that was called a Ravi. And therefore, she, the wife, had to be counted. But when dealing with the level of great-granddaughter, where you can achieve a great-granddaughter without your specific wife, could be from a previous marriage, or something else, possibly, we don't count your wife. Omar le Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana, Shnios debei Rabbi Fia, Yesh lohen hefsik o ein lohen hefsik. Now, we've dealt with this topic of hefsik previously, and this has to do with the issue of going a continual going up the chain. In other words, we may have mentioned great-grandmother, but maybe great-mother of great-grandmother is also considered a shnia, or we made reference to great-granddaughter. Maybe the daughter of your great-granddaughter is also a shnia. That would be a function of saying Ein Lohem Hefsik. So that is the question. And on the side we have a marking. The diamonds that you see here are featured under the Mivneh heading. The Sionus Lanus L'Sheila attempts to answer the question, Im Yesh Hefsik L'Shnios de Rabbi Chia. Is there a Hefsik to the Shnios of Rabbi Chia? So the Gemara continues, Omar Le Rav Ashi Rav Kana Shnios de Bei Rabbi Chia Yesh Lan Hefsik Ein Lan Hefsik. Toshma, the Omar Rav, let's try to wring a proof from that which Rav said. And now Rav's comment was back on the Chof Aleph Omid Aleph, five lines from the end of the Omid. And there he said, Arba Noshim Yesh Lahem Hefsik. There are four examples of women that have a Hefsik, that stop and don't go in a continual chain. Fasulo, and indicating four Yesh lehefsik, and any other examples do not have a hefsik. And if that be the case, so the examples of Rabbi Chia would not have a hefsik. So that the daughter of one's granddaughter, the mother of your wife's great-grandmother, would also be forbidden. The Gemara says this is not conclusive. Dilma ki ko'oma Rav, maybe Rav's comment of four women, Yesh lahem hefsik, was lehahi masnisa, was a reference only to the Tanaic source that was featured back there on the Chof Aleph Omid Aleph. And concerning them, Rav made his comment. But other examples, like Debei Rabbi Chia's, Rav wasn't referring to them at all. So we can't use Rav as a basis for concluding our question. Toshma. So here we attempt again to answer the question about Hefsik. we are quoting from the source just above, the source with which we opened today's shiur. It's a very abbreviated quote, Toshma Shlishi Revi'i. The term Shlishi Revi'i you saw in the original source. Our question concerned that source. Do the Shnius of Rabbi Chiya have Hefsik or not? So the language of Shlishi Revi'i, as the Gemara says, Shlishi Revi'i in Tfeilo, it would indicate that there is Hefsik, because it specifies third generation, fourth generation, indicating that's it. But the Gemara rejects this. Dilma Mishlishi Ve'elich May Revi Ve'elich. Maybe the term Shlishi Ve'elich don't mean just that particular generation, means rather from that generation onwards, either up or down, but not that it represents that these numbers represent the end of the chain, but rather the beginning of the chain of the Shniim, of the Shniyos, because prior to them we saw that that's an erva mamish, an actual erva, whether it be one's own granddaughter or one's wife's mother's mother. As you can see, there's a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side, we have a topic heading. Ha'im gozru shnios begeirim. Does the concept of shnios apply to converts, people who convert to Judaism? Kagon, ger shoyanosui le'ein imo, a person who, as a non-Jew, happened to have married his mother's mother. Person married his grandmother. And now they convert. Does he have to divorce her? Yotzi or not? Does he have to divorce her? Omer le Rava le Rav Nachman. Chosi mar hai merabonon da osami ma Rava. Rava says to Rav Nachman, do you see this man, this Rav, that came from Eretz Yisrael, the Omar, and this person who came, this Rav, who came from Eretz Yisrael, said, Bo'u b'marava, they asked, they raised the question in Eretz Yisrael, Gozru shnios bagerim, oiloi gozru shnios bagerim. Did the ruling of shnios apply to converts or not? The Rashi that we take a look at, Bagirim gozru shnios she'im hoya ger nosi ein imo. Let us say a man, as a Gentile, had been married to his grandmother, his wife's mother. That is, his own mother's mother, ein imo, his grandmother, and they convert together. Does he have to divorce her? The concept of gerus incorporates an idea that we'll see later in the Gemara, that one who converts is like he is newly born. Many of us are familiar with the term newborn. So, is he considered like a newborn individual? The Gemara continues, Omar Lei, Rav Nachman responds to Rav, he says, Hashta, Uma Erva Gufa. Mind you, the actual forbidden type relationship. For example, a ger had been married to his mother. Let's say a Gentile fell in love with his mother in a marital sense, and the mother and son converted. Strictly speaking, the Gemara continues, Ilav, if not for the following rabbinic consideration, Shelo Yomru, that people shouldn't say, Boin mikedusha chamur lekedusha kala, lo gozru b'rabbanan, if not for the impression that it would create, that as Gentiles, mother and son is a forbidden type relationship. Having converted to Judaism, by letter of the law, they're not considered legally related to one another. Hence, there'd be no problem with this boy marrying his mother. It's not considered his mother anymore as a result of the conversion. But that would create the impression that a non-Jewish existence is considered more restrictive, is more severe, more chomor, than Judaism itself, which is really untrue. But since that, if we would allow them to continue living together, people would say that. They would say that the non-Jewish existence is more chomor than the Jewish existence, that they're coming from a higher level of sanctity to a lower level of sanctity by converting to Judaism. So, but if not for that, lo gozru behu rabbanan, the rabbanan would have let things stay as letter of the law. So that the whole idea of an erva itself, the more severe type relationship, as we cited an example, mother and son. And if not for the fact that it would lead to a misimpression on the part of the public, the Rabbanan would have left things as it is, and they'd say that once these two convert, they can live together as husband and wife. So Shnios Mibaya, now you're asking me about something that is only a rabbinic prohibition altogether. So that Rav Nachman's response to Rava is that the Gezerah of Shnios would not apply to a Shnios type relationship when you're dealing with converts. So just to keep things simple, if a Gentile had married his grandmother and they converted together to Judaism, we would say that couple can remain together as husband and wife. Because even the more severe type relationship of son with mother, if not for murmurings that would create on the part of the public and create this misimpression that Judaism is a lighter level sanctity, even that we would have allowed mother and son after conversion to be wedded with one another. So, being that the more severe case is only an Issur Darabonan, the case of Shnios, which is less severe, it's only rabbinic in origin, there the Rabbonan did not impose any restriction for converts. Omar Rav Nachman, Geirim Hayu V'Osu L'Yodon, the topic of converts, since it's come our way, Nemo Behu Milso. Let us say something else about converts. Now, here we're not going to be dealing with issues of marriage, but we're going to be dealing with issues of testimony in court. Halacha says that two brothers, even if they're totally upstanding, trustworthy people, they cannot serve as a unit of testimony, as a group of witnesses to testify. And this halacha goes so far as to say that even if Moshe and Aaron, two of the most upright, trustworthy figures in Jewish history, but they were brothers, would come to testify, we would not accept their testimony. Now, we're going to talk about biological brothers. They had been born to the same parent as Goyim, as non-Jews, but they converted. And now, they happen to see something, they witness something. Can they serve as witnesses? Omar Rav Nachman, Geirim, we read this already, Hoyo V'yosu V'yodo Neimo Bu Milso, Achim Min Ho'em. These are two brothers that have a common mother. We have a little diagram on the side, and we indicate that on the parental level, you're dealing with Goyim. So you have a woman who had been married to one man, and then married to another man. From each one of the marriages, she produced a son, and we have them on our chart called Ger, because these two boys converted. So the Rav Nachman says, Lo Ya'idu. They shouldn't testify together as a first choice. Rashi adds here, Lo Ya'idu L'chadchila, as a first choice, they should not be your witnesses. The Kurvas Aim Begerim Kurvahi, the relation with one another in the realm of converts, in the case of coming from common mother, has an element of kurva. Daha vadai imohi. We can say that this is definitely their mother. We can ascertain with certainty that these children came from the same woman. Simply stated, the birth process is something that is witnessed by others, so that you can see that they came from the same woman. However, even though we say they shouldn't testify, the Gemara goes on to say, V'im he'idu edusan edus. If they do testify, their testimony is acceptable. And Rashi at this point adds, "Dekakotin shenoy ladomi," because after conversion, it's as if they are, legally speaking, born again. And as such, so they're born again, but as new individuals, so they're not considered brothers anymore. The Gemara continues, "Achim min ho'av me'idin lechatchila." Two gerim that happen to have the same father, as each one thinks that the man that's their father was their father, they can testify without any question as a first choice. In the case of a man being someone's parent, so that's less it's less obvious by virtue of the role of the father in conception. Amemar Omar. Notice he's called number two with a squiggle underline following Rav Nachman. You see he has a different opinion. He says, Amemar says, Afilu achim min o'eim namim idim lechatchila. Brothers from the same mother, without any question, can testify together after as gerim. My shno me arayas. Why the distinction? We say, in the case of a ger, let us say that you have a person who was married to his sister from the same mother. And we say that they should part, they should split up after they convert. And yet when it comes to testimony, two brothers from the same mother, you have no problem in accepting their testimony. What's the difference? The Gemara answers, Ervo lakol mesur. The realm of relations, Ervo, forbidden relations, is something that has a direct connection to the general public. And not everyone knows the concept of a convert being like someone born anew, so that he's not really related to his sister anymore and can be married. But they don't know that. And people will come to the impression that there are no erva restrictions in general, even amongst Jews, because they see these gerim as Jews, which they are, but they don't understand. The public doesn't know the intricacies of halacha, including the point that a ger she nizgayer kekotin shenolad domi. Therefore, we don't want a brother and sister converts to remain together. Edus lebeis din mesura the ger she nizgayer kekotin shenolad domi. Edus, the issue of testimony. Who deals with testimony? The courts deal with testimony. And people who are on the court, people, the judges, they are well aware of this halacha of ger shenizgayer kekotin shenolad domi, and therefore it's clear to them they're not going to make a mistake and accept two brothers in general as witnesses, even though they will accept two brothers that happen to be converts as witnesses. And now we have a new Mishnah. On the side, we have a Mivneh, structural note. The phrase we've double underlined, mi sheyesh lo ach, or a ben, mikomokom. The Mishnah uses this expression, someone who has a brother or a son, mikomokom. That's an expression that's vague. We'll have to see what that is referring to. But mikomoko means in under all circumstances. Someone has a brother or a son under all circumstances. So when it comes to a brother, the brother is zokeik. Zokeik is a short form of describing a couple where the man dies with no children, and the man who died left a brother. The standard or the classic case of yibum. So the brother that one leaves, the surviving brother, however he is a brother, that's as far as the language of the Mishnah is concerned, however he is a brother, he zokeik, causes a bond to form between himself and the surviving widow. So brother-in-law, sister-in-law, are connected. That's an ach. An ach zokek. The brother creates this yibum bond. What kind of brother? So the Mishnah said, brother mikomokom, any kind of brother. But we'll have to be more specific when we get into the Gemara. By the way, we know that brothers that are half-brothers from a common mother do not create a yibum bond. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says, ach mikol mokoim? Likewise, ben is poter. Ben is a son. The Mishnah says that a son, whatever kind of son you have, he exempts. That means if a man dies, leaving a son, whatever kind of son, and again, that's a phrase that needs explanation. What do you mean, any kind of son? So he leaves a son, whatever he might be, so he exempts the surviving widow. It's not necessarily his mother, by the way, but it's a man who left a son, so the surviving widow does not do yibum. She is exempted from yibum. Yibum, and there's no yibum, there's no chalitza, she's totally exempt. Now we read the Mishnah. Mishi yesh lo ach mikol mokoim, a person who has a brother, and we emphasize from the same father. Mikol mokoim, however he is a brother from that same father, zokek es eshes ochiv le yibum. He creates a bond. This brother of the deceased creates a bond between himself and the wife of his deceased brother, Liyibum, for Yibum purposes, V'ochivhu l'chol davar, and he is a brother for all purposes. Again, a phrase that needs further explanation. Chutz mimish yesh lo ach min hashivcha u'min ha'ivedes kechavim, with the exception of two brothers, however, they have the same father, but one of the brothers was born or was conceived by a bondmaid or an idol worshipper mother, a non-Jewish mother. So that when a person, two fellows have the same father, but one has a Jewish mother and the other one has a Gentile mother, so this halacha does not apply there. He's not considered his brother. We'll see later, the Gemara proves it from Psukim, that what we would call today religion or national affiliation, Jew versus non-Jew, the identity is determined by one's mother. And just by way of, let's say, side remark, one's identity, which might be the most important factor in one's life, is determined by the mother, by the woman, so that people who get involved in contemporary terms with women as second-class citizens, etc., and so forth, when it comes to the Jewish perspective, there couldn't be anything further from the truth. From the Jewish perspective, one's identity, which is, as we said before, what could be more central, what could be more significant than identifying you as either Jewish or non-Jewish, that's determined exclusively by the mother. So that child follows mother, the woman, in establishing one's identity, Jewish versus non-Jewish. The Mishnah goes on, Mishi yesh lo ben mikol mokoim, someone who has a son, however he is a son, poter eshes aviv min hayibum, so he will exempt his deceased father's wife from yibum because his father left the son. V'chayev al makosov al kiklosu, that son that we just described as a ben mikomakom, however he happens to be a son, if he hits his father or curses his father, he is chayev misa, he's chayev to be executed. That's a capital offense. Uvenoi lechol davar, is considered his son regarding all matters. Chutz mimi sheyesh lo ben min hashivcha umin ha'ivedes kechavim, with the exception of someone who bore a child by having mated with a bondmaid or an idol worshipper or a Gentile woman. A person who fathered a child through creating conception with a Gentile woman, that son in Jewish law is not considered his son. He has no connection. Once again, as we said before, that identity, called religion identity or national identity, that is determined by the woman. Now the Gemara focuses on the vague expression of the Mishnah. We said he is a brother or a son, mikol makom. So mikol makom lasuimai. The Mishnah that said one who has a brother, mikol makom, then it's zokek es eshes ochiv. What is mikol makom coming to include? Amar Rav Yehuda, lasuye mamzer, to include a brother who is illegitimate. What would an example of that be? A man that had intimacy with his wife and produced a son, and that same man who had intimacy with a forbidden relative or another married woman, a woman married to someone else. The child that results is called a mamzer. And yet our Mishnah says that that brother is considered a brother. And the result of that would be that if the legitimate brother dies, so the widow is bound in a yibum bond to the mamzer brother. Mor says, pshito, ochiv hu. That's obvious. They come from the same father. These two brothers come from the same father. They're both considered brothers. So why should I have thought otherwise? So what? That his background is such that his conception was illegitimate. Nevertheless, they come from the same father, so they're brothers. Mahu detema. Without our Mishnah, I would have thought leilif achva achva mibdei yankiv, that I would learn a word comparison from the topic of Yibum, where the word ach, brother, appears, and the topic concerning the children of Yaakov Avinu, of the 12 tribes, where you see the term ach, shnei mosor, achim anachnu. The pasuk says we are 12 brothers. Ma lahalon kshem v'lo psulim, just like in the reference to the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Jacob, they were legitimate. They came from different mothers, but they were all, it was all considered kosher marriages and not illegitimacy. Afkan, so too in the realm of Yibum, Cherim, Velopsulim. I would have thought that brothers would have to be kosher and not illegitimate. Komash Malon, so our Mishnah tells me that we don't make such a comparison. The Gemara says maybe we should, maybe anyway. An ach mamzer is not zokek libum. The Gemara answers kevon de leinyan yibum miftar niftar. Since regarding a son that's left, even if he happens to be illegitimate, he exempts his widow. He exempts his father's widow from yibum. So when you're dealing with the exemption level, i.e. analyzing whether a son is a son, and we see there that a mamzer is considered a son regarding exempting from Yibum. Therefore, this category that we call mamzer, or illegitimacy, also is mizkak namizokik, will, when you're dealing with brothers, create a bond, so that when it comes to this topic of Yibum, since in one aspect of Yibum we see that Mamzerus does not change the law, and that's with regard to a son that survives his father, even though that son might be illegitimate, the man's widow is free to marry whomever she wants, she's released from the Yibum bond. So a brother that happens to be illegitimate also will be considered a full-fledged brother regarding the creation of the Yibum bond between brother-in-law and sister-in-law. We continue in the Gemara, and we're at the top line of Amud Beis. The Ochivu L'chol Dabar, the Mishnah said that the Mamzer brother is a brother regarding all matters. L'mai Hilchasa, regarding what areas of Halacha do we say he is a brother? So two areas, liyorsho v'litame lo, as far as laws of inheritance are concerned, and as far as laws of ritual defilement or defilement to the dead. That if you have two brothers that have the same father, and their father happened to be a Kohen, and one son is a Mamzer, so when he dies, the Kohen brother is to defile himself, even though a Kohen in general does not defile himself to the dead. The Torah mentions that the seven close relatives that a person has, mother, brother, father, father, son, the wife, daughter, those seven relatives are considered obligatory on the part of the Kohen to defile himself to them. So in that list are brothers. So even though you're dealing here with a brother who happens to be a Mamzer, nevertheless the Kohen defiles himself when his brother, when the Mamzer dies. The Gemara asks, as we asked before, Pshita Achiv Hu. It seems obvious that's his brother, and the Torah says that a Kohen defiles himself to his brother. So what does the Mishnah add that I wouldn't have thought of on my own? The Gemara answers, and here we have a long answer, Salta Daito Hamina. Without the Mishnah, I would have thought, Hoyol Uksiv, since regarding Tumas Kohanim, since regarding this topic of Kohen defilement, it says, Ki'im L'sheiru HaKoroveilov. That's a pasuk that in which it says that a Kohen can defile himself to She'ero. V'yomar Mar She'ero Zuishto, and the Gemara teaches that She'ero is a reference to one's wife. Uksiv, there's another pasuk that says Lo Yitame Baal Ba'amov Lehechalo, that a husband shall not defile himself. Yesh ba, so that would seem to be a contradiction in psukim. One pasuk says that a baal, a husband, does defile himself to his wife, and the other pasuk indicates not so. So the resolution is yesh baal shemetame, yesh baal shemetame. There are some cases of husbands who are kohanim, of course, that will defile themselves to their deceased wife, and some cases not. Ha ketzad, how is this to be resolved? Metamehu liishto ksheira, v'ein metame liishto psula. A person, a kohen, is expected to defile himself to his wife, who happened to be ksheira, acceptable, a kosher wife, and he's not to defile himself to a wife that we call psula, unfit. So that you see in the realm of husband-wife, Kohen needing to defile himself to his wife, we make a distinction between a legitimate marriage versus a marriage that's not acceptable. Hachinami, so I would have thought that regarding brothers as well, mitamu l'ach kosher v'ein mitamu l'ach posel, that the same standard would apply to brothers as well, that he can metama, he can defile, the Kohen can metama himself only to a legitimate brother and not to a brother born out of illegitimacy. Komashmon, our Mishnah tells us not to compare to the issue of husband-wife. And when it comes to brothers, even if the brother, the deceased brother, was illegitimate, the Kohen will attend his funeral, will be in the same room as the corpse, will defile himself to that deceased mamzer brother. The Gemara says, well, maybe we should make the comparison anyway. The Gemara point answers, there is a difference. Hussam, when it comes to a husband-wife, when they were alive, the husband, the Kohen, was married to a woman that was forbidden for him to marry. We'll call it an illegitimate marriage. A Kohen who was married to a woman forbidden to him, La'afuki kaimo, even while they were alive, she was supposed to be cast away. La'afuki means exit, to send her out. Therefore, she's not considered regarding this topic, not considered his wife in terms of defilement purposes. But in the case of brothers, we don't speak about a brother that you need to divorce your brother. In the case of husband and wife, we can speak about that since the marriage was illegitimate, he needs to send her away, he needs to divorce her. But that type of analysis has no relevance to brothers, hence the distinction. And just to go over the distinction, the illegitimate wife, a Kohen who survives his illegitimate wife, does not defile himself to her. A Kohen who survives his deceased brother, who was illegitimate, the Kohen does defile himself to her. To him, that is. Chutz mimi, quoting from the Mishnah, chutz mimi sheyesh lo ach min ha-shivcha. And the Mishnah went on to say, we have this in brackets, the reason we have this in brackets, because the topic of a brother through a Gentile woman, in other words, two brothers, they have the same father, but different mothers, and the mother of the of one of them was a Vedis Kechavim, a Gentile, so there we don't consider them brothers. The Gemara, now that issue, by the way, with regard to Vedis Kechavim, that will be dealt with later. That's why we have, in our markings, we have her in brackets. So right now we're focusing on someone that's mothered by a bondmaid. In other words, the bondmaid was this fellow's mother. So even though they have a common father, since one of them was conceived by a bondmaid, they're not considered brothers. My taimo, why is that so? Omar Kraw, the pasuk says regarding a shifcha, the pasuk says ha isha viladel tia ladoneha. Without getting into the details of the pasuk, which deal with a shifcha, but it says that the mother, the woman, and her sons belong to the master. So the from the pasuk you see that the pasuk, of course, which was dealing, as we said, with a shifcha, that the children are associated with their mother. Mi sheyesh lo ben mikol makom poter, and here the Gemara goes on to the second part of the Mishnah, which spoke about someone who dies leaving a son, however he is a son, he will exempt the deceased's widow from yibum. Mikol makom lasuyemai, this term mikol makom that was used in the Mishnah, what does it come to include? What other kind of son other than the standard son? Omar Rav Yehuda lasuyemamzer, it comes to include a son that was born illegitimately. So if a man died leaving a legitimate wife, however, in the course of his life, he happened to have engaged in illegitimate intimacy. He had intimacy with a, let's say, with a married woman, and from that act of intimacy, a son was born. That son is a mamzer. So our Mishnah tells us that mamzer son exempts his father's widow from Yibum. And we emphasize, when we speak about the father's widow, we're talking about the father happened to be married to a legitimate wife. Nevertheless, she's exempted because this man left a son, even though the son is a mamzer. My time, oh, why is that? How do we know that to be the case? The Omar Kro Uven Ein Lo. The pasuk in describing a Yavoma describes a woman whose husband died, leaving no son. Ben Ein Lo. Now notice the word Ein has a yud in it. Technically speaking, the word Ein, which is a word of negation, no son, could have been written without the yud in it. The fact that there's a yud in the word Ein, it leads me to a drasha, Ayein Olav. That when someone dies, you look into him, you look into what has he left. Now, when we speak about looking in, it means you have to look beyond the obvious. Even not only a regular legitimate son will exempt, but even a mamzer. And that we derive from the yud, even that which is not so obvious, but by analyzing, by looking into him, we come to include even a mamzer's son will exempt the widow from yibum. The chayav al makosoi v'al kilolosso, the Mishnah said that a mamzer who strikes his father will be guilty of a capital offense for striking him or for cursing him. The Gemara asks, why should that be? Amai karikan, why not refer to this case? The pasuk that says, v'nosi b'amcha lo sa'or. The nosi is a term referring to the king that's of your people, you shall not curse. And we darshan from this pasuk, ba'oisim ha'isamcha. When do we say there's a prohibition of cursing the king? When he is a oisim ha'isamcha, when he follows the law, when he is a Torah king, when he's an observant king, not someone who desecrates halacha. And what could be a greater desecration of halacha than a man who engaged in illegitimate intimacy? So why does the Mishnah say that a mamzer's son is guilty if he curses his father? His father is not oisa maisa amcha. He's not someone who behaved piously. The Gemara answers, Kidomar Rav Pinchas, Mishmei de Rav Papa, ba'oisa tshuva, as Rav Pinchas said, in the name of Rav Papa, in a different context, we're talking about a father who repented, Hochanami Kishasa Tshuva. Using that idea, we'll apply it over here. We're talking about a man. It's true that he engaged in illegitimate relations. Nevertheless, he atoned. He repented. And therefore, it is usur for the son to curse him and to strike him. The Gemara asks, Vaha Bar Tshuva, who is someone who produced an illegitimate son categorized as someone who is capable of repentance? V'hotnan, we have a Tanaic source that says otherwise. Shimon ben Manasseh Omer. Ezehu, Shimon ben Manasseh explains, what is the pasuk that says, Mu'uvas lo yuchal liskon? Mu'uvas is an aberration, a violation, a sin that cannot be fixed. What is an example of a sin that is cannot be rectified? That is someone that had intimacy with a forbidden woman and produced a mamzer, an illegitimate son. So from this source, it would seem that a mamzer should never be guilty if he strikes his father. He cannot do tshuva. He can't repent. So he's never oisa maisa amcha. The Gemara answers, Hashtomiha, right now, even though the sin was done and the illegitimate child was born, after all is said and done, right now, oise maisa amchahu, he has repented. He's expressed his remorse and his acceptance not to do it ever again. He is right now someone who has done tshuva, so that even though the problem that he left in the world cannot be rectified, is irreconcilable, the man himself is considered a Baal Tshuva. And therefore, the son will be guilty for striking him and cursing him. Tonu Rabbanan. We have on the side, by the way, a topic heading Machloikis Tanoim, a Tanaic controversy, Habo al Achoisai, Shigam Bas Eshes Oviv, one who has intimacy with his sister, who happens to also be the daughter of one's father's wife. So you have a brother and sister, they have a common father, and the sister, this girl who has in common with her brother the same man, the same father, the girl is also the daughter of their father's wife. We're not saying that they're a case of what we call full brother and sister. They might have two different mothers, but the girl in question happens to be the daughter of their father's legitimate wife. So this girl has two identities to her as far as halacha is concerned. She is considered a sister, and she's also the daughter of one's father's wife. In the Parsha of Arayas, a person cannot cohabit with the daughter of his father's wife. We call that Bas Eishes Oviv. So if one does have intimacy with this woman, this girl, this female, who is both his sister and the daughter of his father's wife, how many offenses have been violated? Tonu Rabbanan, Habo al achoso vihi bas eshes oviv. Chayov number one, mishum achosoi, and number two, umishum bas eshes oviv. The two identities are present in halachic terms, and for the one act of intimacy, he is said to have violated these two offenses. And we'll see in the course of the Gemara the relevant verses that identify these prohibitions. Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda Oimer, Eino chayav elo mishum achoiso bilvad velo mitnei bas eshes aviv. He is considered in violation only of achoso, of sister, and is not considered guilty of the violation of intimacy with the daughter of one's father's wife. My tamayu derabbanan, what is the basis of Rabbanan? As the Gemara unfolds, you can see we have some squiggle underlining, and on the side of the Gemara, this is lahokel al hamaakav, in order to keep it, to make it simpler to follow who the focus of discussion is on, so the name has been squiggle underlined. So here we're focusing on the Rabbanan, who said there are two violations. What is the reason for them? Amri, miftik siv. If you look into the psukim, you see pasuk tes in Vayikra chapter 18, verse 9, it says, Ervas achoscha bas avicha bas imcha. It refers to the prohibition of one's sister, who is the daughter of either one's father or one's mother. We call them half-sister, from having a common father or a common mother. And in Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, it says, Ervas bas eshes avicha, moledes avicha, achoscha hi. Lomoli. Once in Pasuk Tes, you describe the prohibition of cohabiting with one sister, doesn't it appear that Pasuk Yud Aleph is redundant? It describes, again, it describes a sister. It's a man that happens to have a father, and the girl happens to have the same father. It's bas. Well, let us correct ourselves. It's a man who has relations with someone else that the Torah describes as a choschi. So what do I need that pasuk for? Normally, shma mino lechayvo mishum achosoi umishum bas eshes aviv. By saying, after in Pasuk Tes, it describes Achoscha, the prohibition of having relations with one's sister. Pasuk Yud Aleph again repeats Achoscha hi. It's there to tell me that they are both considered, labels of prohibition. So the two violations, one is called Achoso, and the other one is called Bas Eishes Oviv. So that the term Achoscha hi in Pasuk Yud Aleph would appear to be the basis of the Rabbanan in their conclusion, that there are two violations. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, what is the basis of his approach? Omar Kra, the Pasuk said in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Achoscha hi. That has a certain limitation or exclusionary tone to it. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishum achoso ato mechaivo, v'i ato mechaivo mishum bas eshes oviv. That when a person has intimacy with a woman, that they happen to have the same father. However, they come from, let us say, different mothers, but the girl's mother is a legitimate wife of the father. According to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, there's only one violation, and that's achoscha. The label of bas eshes aviv doesn't apply, and that's because of the exclusionary expression of achos chahi. Rabbanon, hi achos chahi, my avdile. What did the Rabbanon do with this exclusionary expression? Answer, miboya lahu, they need it for the following. Lechaivo al achosoi bas oviv u bas imo. The description of achoscha, they need to clue us in, or to be the source for someone who has relations with a full sister. A sister that he has through their having a common mother and father. Lomar, to tell us, she'ein mazhirin min hadin, that when you create or you find a source for something that is of a negative, of the nature of a negative commandment, you cannot come to a conclusion that something is a negative commandment through pure logic, through kal v'chomer logic, but you have to have an additional scriptural source. Therefore, after the Torah tells me that you are chayav, you are guilty of having relations with someone who is a half-sister, on the one hand, logic would say, well, for a half-sister, one is chayav, for a full-sister, all the more so. That's logic. But in order to say that there is a negative command regarding that, you have to have an extra, you have to have something scriptural. And that's what the Rabbonon derive from the term achoscha hi. V'Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what does he do in light of what was just said? The Gemara is making, of course, the assumption that Rabbi Yehuda accepts the concept of Ein Mazhirin Min Hadin, that one does not create negative commands through Kal V'Chomer logic. But he says, granted that that's the case, Im Kein Lichtoiv Rachmona Achoscha, the Torah could have accomplished that idea by just the word Achoscha, yet it adds another word, He Lomali. What does the word He accomplish? And this is where Rabbi Yossi Biuda proves his point that there is exclusion. Mishum achoscha to mechayvo, viato mechayvo mishum bas eshes oviv. That one, if he has intimacy with his sister, who also happens to be the daughter of his father's wife, he is chayev only for one offense, achoscha, and not also her identity as being the daughter of his father's wife. The Rabbonon, now take note of the fact, this is a long point, the Rabbonon who used achoscha hi not in an exclusionary format, what do they say about this point? Couldn't they have learned ein mazhirin min hadin just from the word achoscha? So the Gemara says, no, for Rabbanon they respond, afal gav dechtiv achoscha itztrich l'michtav hi. Even though the Torah writes achoscha, it has to write the word he as well. Both words are needed to communicate the concept of ein mazhirin min hadin. Shaloi toimar, don't say the following. In other words, if I didn't have the word he, I might have said the following. So the addition of the word he tells me, don't say the following. Now, this is three lines of what not to say. Bi'almo mazhirin min adin. That in general, we can create a mazhirin, is a negative command, a loisase, through kal v'chomer logic. You might ask then, if that's the case, why does the Torah write achoscha? If you're saying that you can come to the conclusion that a full sister is chayav through the kal v'chomer starting from half sister, why does the Torah have to add the word achoscha to tell me culpability for cohabitation with full sister? You know, I'll tell you why. Milsa de asya b'kal v'chomer, the matters that can be concluded through kal v'chomer logic, torach v'kosav lokro, at times the Torah goes out of its way and writes it anyway, but not to exclude the possibility of Mazir and Minadin. Therefore, now, so all of that don't say, therefore, Kosav Rachmona he. By saying he, I'm telling you, don't say all of that which we just said. But rather, in general, we are not Mazhirin Min Hadin. Now, he has to respond to this. He says, Im Cain, if it were so that the Pasuk is not coming to limit the number of offenses, if it's not for that purpose, let the phrase that was found in Pasuk Yud Aleph, that let that be written in Pasuk Tes, which describes the prohibition of sister. And Achos Chahi would be, as according to the Rabbanan, trying to tell me an additional offense. By writing this Pasuk in the context of Pasuk Yud Aleph, where it speaks about the prohibition of having, of cohabiting with the daughter of one's father's wife, I learn, therefore, says Rabbi Yosef Buda, that Achoschi is exclusionary. That if one has relations with someone, with a girl who is his sister, a sister, let's say, from the fact that his father raped a woman, it's not a sister through marriage, through a marriage. If she has that identity, so that's a regular sister. That's considered achoscha. If she happens to be also the daughter of one's, in a case where a man had produced a daughter through a marriage, so she will carry the identity of only sister and not daughter of one's father's wife. So as far as Rabbi Yosi Buda is concerned, a girl who was one's sister, even if she happens to be the daughter of a legitimate marriage with one's with her mother, with his father, that would not figure in. So it would seem then, according to Rabbi Yosi Buda, the concept of or the prohibition of bas eishes avicha is a case of a girl who's born to a woman who was married previously to another man. So basically, this bas eishes avicha is someone who's not related to you in terms of blood relationship. Only then would the isur of bas eishes avicha figure in, according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, hi bas eishes avicha my ovid lay. Notice we have an arrow on the side. You can connect this to that which we saw above, where the pasuk was cited by the Rabbanan as being one of the two offenses for having relations with one's sister who also happens to be the daughter of one's father, through the daughter of one's father's wife. What does Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda do with that pasuk? Answer, Miboyale, he needs the pasuk of Bas Eishes Avicha. Let us just correct ourselves. Let's just backtrack for a moment. The Gemara here is asking about the Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ervas Beis Bas Eishes Avicha. What does Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda do with that? This was the Pasuk that the Rabbanan cited as a second offense for having relations with one sister. What does Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda see in that phrase? Answer, Miboyale, he needs it for the following. Mishi Yeshlo Ishus lo'avicha ba. When we speak about the daughter of one's father's wife, the girl would have to be exactly that, the daughter of a legitimate marriage between her mother and his father. Then we say there's an isur achoso, prat to the exclusion, then she would be chayav as a daughter of one's father's wife. To the exclusion of a girl who is the product of his father cohabiting with a bondmaid or a Gentile woman. A girl like that would not be considered, you would not be in violation of achoso with relations with her. To restate this last point, we notice something interesting, how halacha places a premium, we'll say, on legitimacy over biology. Now you ask, what does that mean? Simply, a girl who happens to be the daughter of your father's wife, now she's not related to you, but she just happens to be the daughter of your father's wife, she is forbidden. However, if your father happened to have cohabited with a Gentile woman and a girl was born, so you and the girl have the same father, biologically related. And yet, if you cohabit with her, you're not guilty of the erva of achoso. That's not a problem of erva. There might be another problem involved of having relations with a girl who essentially is not Jewish, but that is not the same level of prohibition of erva. So once again, you see that a girl who you are, technically speaking, you're not related to at all, biologically not related, but she carries with her a more severe offense than cohabiting with a girl who biologically may be related to you, but halachically there's no connection. And that's because the father happened to have impregnated a bondmaid or a Gentile woman, thereby no halachic connection exists. Now here we have to pause regarding the structure. You notice that we have a crown shape here. On the side of the Gemara, we also have a topic heading. We call this a tatnose, a subtopic. And this discussion goes to the end of Chof Gimel Amar Aleph, a very long discussion where we've noted Achoso Mishivcha V'Ovedes Kochavim, the daughter of a man having cohabited with a bondmaid or a Gentile woman, a no achoso, she's not considered your sister. Shein ishus b'shivcha oyvedes kechavim. There isn't any marital bond formed between a Jewish man and a bondmaid or a Gentile woman. You notice that we have a mivneh heading that's lahavlit. Prat le. You'll see we're trying to highlight the expression that comes to exclude. The pasuk of Bas Eishes Aficha comes to exclude Achosu Mishivcha V'Yidus Kechavim. On Chof Gimel Amen Aleph, you'll notice an inverted crown marking. You can also use your arrow to navigate. And if you skim down about a third of the way down from the top of Chof Gimel Amen Aleph, an inverted crown marking where the Gemara suggests, let us say that l'rabois achoisoi mishivcha v'vidus chavim, just the opposite. The Gemara will make an attempt to say that, in fact, she should be included in the prohibition of achoso. We will then encounter a bracketed section of Gemara. So we have a note that says miyad achrei asugraim a Gemara shalas. After the brackets, the Gemara will ask, from where do the Chachomim know? Up till now, we're dealing with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So after the long bracketed section that's about halfway down Chof Gimel Amar Aleph, the Gemara will be asking, where do the Rabbonin know to exclude from Achoso prohibition a girl who is your sister, though common father, but
she is the result of cohabitation between him and a bondmaid or heathen or Gentile woman. That's what takes place after the brackets. Toch ha-sograyim, ha-gemorah mevios, sitros shel hatzos chilufios. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will bring a series of alternative suggestions. Lema pratla, maybe you should say that the exclusionary term of bas eisha sofiha is coming to exclude something else. L'naso islamai kol minei noshim acheros milischayav mishum achoso. To exclude all kinds of other examples of women that are not, that should not be considered achoso. At the end of the day, we're not going to be excluding them. But marking wise, you can see in the bracketed section a triangle and double underline, which are both series markings. They're featured under the mivneh, where they are hatzos, chilufios, ma bo haposuk lemait, alternative examples of what the posuk might be coming to exclude. So now we continue in the Gemara, having noted what does Rabbi Yossi Rabbeinu do. We said, what does he do with the expression bas eishes avicha? So we said where the crown appears, prat la'choso mishivcha v'vilskom shein ishes l'avicha ba. Since the pasuk said eishes avicha, eishes means marital bond, the daughter of a girl who comes from a woman, the daughter of a woman that had a marital bond with your father, as opposed to a girl who came from a situation where your father had relations and impregnated a woman with whom he cannot have a marital bond, namely a shivcha or ovedes kochavim. So that even though you and this girl might have the same father, her mother is a woman with whom your father could not have had a marital bond, a shivcha or a vedis kochavim. The halacha does not recognize what we would call today interfaith marriages. As we said before, and we'll just repeat for structural purposes, if you notice the long bracket marking right after the brackets, halfway down, Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara asks, Rabbanan mute shivcha v'yischachavim minolahu, where do the Rabbanan know to exclude a girl who is the daughter of your father having relations with a shivcha or ovedes kochavim? And the Gemara will proceed to give a source for the Rabbanan, and they will tell you, nafkluhu me'isha v'yolevti alav d'neha. But we'll get to that in Yitz Hashem at a later point. In the meantime, though, the bracketed section, the Amo, why not say, instead of what we have in the crown, Prat Lachosim Yishuvah Vizkovim, that Prat Lachosim Yanusa, that a girl who is born from, we'll call it your sister, who's born because your father raped another woman, so that is, maybe she should not be considered your sister. And yet we know she is. So the Gemara says, "Ahi lo motzis amris," that you cannot say, namely to exclude from being considered your sister a girl who was born from your father having raped a woman, mi de Rava, from Rava's teaching. The Rava Rami Rava raises a seeming contradiction in Psukim. Ksiv ervas bas bincha o bas bitcha lo segale. One pasuk says that the one's granddaughter, that's your the daughter of your son or the daughter of your daughter, you shall not reveal. You shall not have intimacy with her. Ha bas bino dida ubas bita dida shori. However, the daughter of your wife's daughter or the daughter of your wife's son, in other words, your wife's son's daughter or your wife's daughter's daughter, shari, that would be all right. Again, the pasuk says your own granddaughter is off limits. Your wife's granddaughter, again, this is a granddaughter from her, your wife having been married to another man at some point. Your wife's granddaughter, it would seem, is okay. However, another pasuk says, "Uksiv ervas isha ubita lo sigale es bas binov es bas bita." And here you have another pasuk that says that your wife's granddaughter, you cannot have relations with. She is off limits. So the inference from the first pasuk indicated that her, meaning your wife, or the woman you cohabited with, her granddaughter, bas bina, is okay. And the second pasuk says bas bina is not okay. Okay, so how do you resolve the two pasukim? Kan ba'oinsin, kan b'nisuin. When it, onsin means a woman who you raped. So the granddaughter of the woman whom you raped, she is allowed. The granddaughter of the woman whom you married, she is forbidden. With my apologies, we have to go over this last point again, but this time through the Rashi to correct some erroneous and inaccurate comments. So we're looking at the Rashi, Kan ba'oinsin, Ervas bas bincha, your own granddaughter, me'anusoso lo sigale. What does that mean? If you raped a woman, and you produced a son, and that son has a daughter, so the pasuk is saying that granddaughter is forbidden. It's the granddaughter produced from your having raped a woman. We're not describing the granddaughter as her granddaughter. It's your granddaughter. Your granddaughter, because you happen to have raped a woman, produced a son, and that son produced a daughter, she is an erva. So the pasuk is saying that is lo sigale. Now, ha bas bino me'ishacher. However, if it's her, if that rape victim, the woman you raped, happens to have a granddaughter from another man, gale, that rape victim's granddaughter is not prohibited to you. The lav ishtachahi, she was never your wife. Umihu, but we see from here, Beno minha oinsin, your own son that you produced because you raped a woman, beno hu, that's considered your son. V'chein bito, and likewise the daughter that you produced from having raped a woman, that's considered your daughter, and hence her daughter or your son's daughter as a result is also an erva. Hilkoch gabi achvo nami achvo hu. Therefore, when it comes to brotherhood, the fact that rape was involved, it doesn't detract from one's brother being considered, in fact, a brother. So that if one's father produced two sons, or I should say more accurately, a son and a daughter, they are considered, having come from the same father, they are considered brother and sister. So, as far as the triangle is concerned, the aim, what we said, that the pasuk is excluding achoso me anusa, a sister having been the result of your father having raped a woman, she is not excluded from being considered your sister. Just like Rava demonstrated in the case of granddaughters, if it's your granddaughter having been the result of your having raped a woman, she still is considered your granddaughter. We continue at the top of Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. V'eimo prat l'chayve lavin. Maybe the pasuk is excluding a sister that came as a result of your father having had relations with a woman that is prohibited to him by virtue of her being prohibited as a negative commandment. When we speak about negative commandment, we're speaking of negative commandment and not necessarily in terms of chiyuv kores. That will be discussed later in the next triangle. So, negative commandment, Rashi gives an example. If your father happened to, let's say, marry a mamzeres, a woman who is illegitimate is prohibited by negative command to a Jewish man. But he did so anyway. So, you have a son of this man, and this man having also married a woman prohibited by negative command and producing a daughter, maybe the pasuk is saying that if these two, the brother and sister, cohabit, there is no violation of achoso. Omar Rav Papa, the Rav Papa answers that you cannot say that, but rather that is considered a violation of achoso, even though she is essentially the daughter of a wedding between her father and her mother, a mamzeres. Nevertheless, her brother is forbidden as an erva. So Rav Papa says, Chayvei Lavin Tafsibu Kedushin, when her father married the mamzeres, her mother, the mamzeres, there is a marital bond. Tafsi bu kedushin. There's tfisas kedushin. There's a marital bond. Dichtiv. And here we give you the source for that. The pasuk says, in the context of the laws of double portion to firstborn son, laws of inheritance, the pasuk says, kisena le'ish shtei noshim, when a man has two wives. So achas ahuva ve'achas snua. One is beloved and one is hated. Could the pasuk be possibly read on its very simplistic level, meaning that a man has two wives, one that he, the man, loves and one that he hates? And the Torah then says that he gives a double portion to his firstborn, even if it happens to come from the woman he hated. Could that possibly be the meaning of the pasuk? That means, does it matter to God whether, in God meaning in God when he formulates the halachas of double portion, does it matter to God whether the man loves a particular woman or hates the particular woman? What difference should that make with regard to the double portion that a child inherits upon the death of the father? So what is the reference to ahuva, beloved, and snua in the pasuk? El ahuva means ahuva benisueha, meaning that the marriage between man and woman is something that God approves of. Snua means snua benisueha, meaning it's a marriage that God disapproves of. It's a marriage of sin, where a man married a woman prohibited to him. The Omar Rachmona, and the Torah says regarding both of these women, ki sihiena. Sihiena means is a verb form of the verb to be, meaning they bond, they become husband and wife, even though she's called snua, meaning she's a forbidden woman to the man, there is a Torah recognition of a marital bond. Therefore, when it comes to a brother and sister, the sister having been the result of the father having engaged in a prohibited marriage to the woman because of an isor lav, that doesn't detract from her being your sister. V'eimo prat l'chayve krisus. Maybe the pasuk is coming to exclude a sister who is the result of your father having cohabited with a woman that is prohibited to him on the grounds of chiyuv kores, a kores level offense. This is which in fact is a more severe type offense than the chayve lavin we just described. So maybe in such a case, she is not considered your sister. Omar Rav, Omar Kro, Ervas, Achoyscho, Bas Avicho, Oibas Imcho, Moledes bias oi moledes chutz. The explanation: Bein she'omrim lo lovicha kayem. Whether we tell the father keep the woman, keep the wife. Bein she'omrim lo lovicha hotzei. Or even if it's a case of a woman that the Torah expects the father to get rid of, to send out. That's the case of a chiyuv kores. The Omar Rachmona Achoschi on both circumstances, whether it's moledes bias or moledes chutz, the father, the Torah calls the daughter that results your sister. The Gemara asks the question: Emo bein shomer lo avicha kayem bein shomer lo avicha tzei. The Omar Rachmona Achoschi. whether the Torah says to the father, keep her, or says, send her out, she is considered your sister, and it's l'rabois achoisoi mishivcha v'averis kochavim, that the pasuk in fact is coming to include as your sister a girl who was born from your father having cohabited with a shivcha, with a bondmaid, or a Gentile woman. So to that we answer, and you can see with the inverted crown, this is contrary to what we said on Chof Beis Amid Beis. So the Mor says, no, this last suggestion you cannot say. Omar Kro Bas Eishes Ovicha. The violation of sister is Mishieshlo Ishus Lovicha Bo. Someone with whom your father has a marital bond, then and only then she is considered your sister. Prat lachosu mishivcha v'yisuchavim, to the exclusion of a shivcha, a bondmaid, or a Gentile woman, where your father does not have a marital bond. Uma royis, what is it that you see fit to, in fact, include the daughter of a chayvik krisus and exclude shivchan averis kechavim? Answer: Mistabru chayvik krisus havilei l'rabois. I am most likely going to include the one sister who came as a result of the father cohabiting with an erva. She came tafsi ba en kedushin la'almo. Even though your father, for example, cannot marry his brother's wife or his own sister, which are chiyuv kores, those women can marry other people. A marital bond is formed between them and other men. After all, she's a Jewish woman. She can marry someone else, just not her brother, or not his her brother-in-law. Adarabo, to the contrary, shivcha v'edis kechavim, havilei l'rabos, those I should have included to eat megairo l'didei nami tafsi bal kedushin. If they would convert, not only could they marry someone else, they could marry the man himself, the father of this girl himself. There would be tfisas kedushin if they convert. The Gemara says that is all fine and good in potential. L'chi megaira, when she eventually converts, gufa achrinahi, she becomes like a different woman. We said earlier that gershin is gar kekotin shenolad domi, so they're considered like a different person altogether. Hence, you cannot compare the shifan of Eskohavim to the case of Chayve Krisus. In Chayve Krisus, though the mother of this sister is forbidden to your father, she is not forbidden to other men. However, in the case of shifan of Eskohavim, right now there's no marital bond between not only your father, not anyone else either. And in the event that she converts and a marital bond could be formed, she's considered a different person altogether. And as we said before, the Gemara now reverts back to the Rabbonin, because up till now we've been discussing within the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. For Rabbonin lemutei shivcha v'edis kechavim minolahu, where did the Rabbonin learn this exclusion? Answer: Nafklu meishav yildel tila deneha. This is a source we saw earlier today, that the pasuk describing a bondmaid, it says the bondmaid and her sons go to the master. In other words, they are not related to the Jewish man that impregnated her, the bondmaid. They're not related whatsoever. V'Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, what does he say about this pasuk? After all, he had the pasuk of Bas Eishes Avicha for this purpose. So he says, I need two psukim, chad b'shivcha v'chad b'avedes kechavim. One pasuk excludes from, we'll say, sisterhood, the daughter of a bondmaid, where your father impregnated a bondmaid, so the girl that results is not considered your sister. And the other pasuk is needed to exclude a case where your father impregnated a Gentile woman. The girl that results from there is likewise not your sister, Utsrichi. And I need the two sources. The Ashmin and Shivcha, had I been told only the case of Shivcha, Mishum Ti'ein Lo Chayis. A Shivcha, a bondmaid, is a unique category, a bondmaid along with slaves. They don't have any chayas. Chayas, maybe you're familiar with the term yichus. They don't have any connection to any previous generations. There's no yichus, there's no genealogical background when you're dealing with shivchan and an eved on a halachic basis. Aval evedes kechavim the is lo chayas emalo. But when it comes to Gentiles, a Gentile woman, the concept of genealogical connection of yichus has relevance in the realm of non-Jews in the realm of Gentiles, and there are psukim that indicate this. The Ashmin and Avedis Kechavim, had I been told that a sister through a heathen woman is not considered your sister, Mishum Delo Shaicha B'mitzvahs, because Gentiles have no connection to the mitzvahs of the Torah. Aval Shivcha De Shaicha B'mitzvahs, a bondmaid who has a mitzvah obligation, Emalo, maybe she's not excluded. Tzricha, therefore I have to tell you that I need the pasuk of Isha Vilodel to tell me that she is also excluded from having any connection to you. For Rabbanon, as far as the Rabbanon are concerned, Ashkechon Shivcha, they were associated before, the section right after the brackets, just a number of lines up, we saw the Rabbanon saying Isha Vilodel is an excludes that woman from being your sister. But that pasuk is referring to a case of a bondmaid where your father cohabited with a bondmaid producing a girl. She's not considered your sister. Where did the Rabbanon learn that the same concept applies to having impregnated a Gentile woman as opposed to a bondmaid? If you say, well, once I have a source that a sister through a bondmaid is not considered your sister, I would say automatically the same thing regarding to one sister through a Avedis Kechavim. But I can't say that. Hanoch Mitzrichi. We pointed out before that I needed two sources. And that you can see with our little arrow on to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, you can see above we said Srichi, I need two separate sources. So it's not you can't say according to the Rabbanan that I'll learn the exclusion of a sister through Avedis Kechavim from the case of Shivcha. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Omar Kro, so the Rabbanan's source for Avedis Kechavim is from the following. Ki yosir es bincho me'acharai. Now here it's important to know a little grammar. Yosir is in the masculine, and it's a reference to the wedding of Jews and Gentiles. And the pasuk is saying that the Torah does not want Jews to mate with Gentiles because he, the Gentile man, this is in the masculine form, will cause your son, and your meaning you, the Jew, the Jewish son, to be cast away from the path of Torah and veered off to idolatry. So this pasuk, in more practical terms, what is being described? Bincha miYisraelis kori bincha. The son, the child born from a Jewish woman, having cohabited with a Gentile man, is referred to in the pasuk as bincha, your son, meaning Jewish son. We'll say Jewish son with a problematic father. He, the Gentile man, the idol-worshipping man, will cause your Jewish son to veer off and engage in idol worship. The ain bincha habo min oivid is chavim kor bincha el bina. However, your son who comes from your having cohabited with a heathen woman, that child is not called your son. It's called her son, indicating that the child is a Gentile. Omar Ravina, Shmamina, we conclude from here, Ben Bitcha, Habo min Oved Kechavim, Kore Bincha, the son of your daughter having cohabited with a heathen man, that's called your child, Jewish child. Lema Kosova Ravina, Oved Kechavim, the Eved Habo al Bas Yisrael Havlad Kosher, should we say that according to Ravina, a Gentile man that cohabits with a Jewish woman, that the offspring is considered kosher? Now, we've seen this relationship described in the past as other opinions. We saw Rabbi Yochanan's opinion in past Gemaras that says that such a relationship results in mamzerus. Ravina says that a heathen man with Jewish woman, the child is considered Jewish. So, are we to say that Ravina's point is, by Ravina saying that the Vlad is kosher, or we should say by Ravina having said it's considered your son, that he's also saying the Vlad is kosher? The Gemara responds, Nehi de mamzer lohavi, granted that according to Ravina, the heathen man cohabiting with Jewish woman does not result in mamzerus, kosher nami lohave, but to refer to the child as kosher, perfectly acceptable, that we are not going to say. Yisrael posel mikri, he's considered unfit as opposed to illegitimate. Illegitimate is a term we would use with regard to a mamzer. Posel, meaning unfit, this we will use in context of a Gentile man having impregnated a Jewish woman. The Gemara asks, "Hi, the posuk of Ki Yosir is Brincha Me'acharai b'shiva umos k'siv." It's a posuk referring to the seven specific heathens that inhabited the land of Israel upon the entry of the Jews to Eretz Canaan, where the Torah warns against marrying those people. How can you use this pasuk, which refers to seven specific nations, as a general description of idol worshippers world over? The Gemara answers, Ki Yosir, the pasuk built in an explanation of why not to marry people from the seven nations, because those heathen men will cause you to veer off the path of Judaism. So the expression ki yosir, because the pasuk actually built in a reason for it, is really l'rabois kol hamasirin. It's coming to include not just that which the pasuk says, but beyond that as well. All nations that would cause your children to veer off the path of Torah, meaning all non-Jews. Honicha, the Rabbi Shimon, to say that this pasuk of Ki Yosir is coming to include that which is beyond the pasuk, that works out well according to Rabbi Shimon of Shubar Yochai, the Dorish Taima Dekra, who in general, even if the pasuk doesn't give a reason for something, he would offer the explanation. So if the pasuk, let us say, it warns us not to marry people from the seven nations, you'll ask, well, why is that a problem? So on your own, you would say, Ki Yosir, they will cause you to go astray. Why does the pasuk have to spell out that which I would have come to on my own? And according to Shubar Yochai, you are able, you're entitled to Darshan Taima Dekra. So why does it spell it out? It's extra. It spells out that which I would have known anyway, to include that which is beyond the literal meaning of the literal pasuk referring to the seven nations. So we're coming to include even beyond that. Elo la rabbonon minolahu, the rabbonon who don't darshan taima dekra, where do they know in general the prohibition of other nations beyond the seven nations? The Gemara responds and says, if you're asking right now, you're asking about the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda in our discussion till now. Man Tana de Poligole to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Who is the Tana that was arguing with Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. It is Rabbi Shimon. It is Rabbi Shimon. It's not as if there's Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. It's in this context the Rabbanan that were arguing with Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. It is Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, the pasuk, if you were asking before, according to the Rabbanan, where do they know Gentiles in general after not having been able to learn from Elisha Vileta, which was a pasuk dealing with Shivcha, well, they know it from Ki Yosir. Before we conclude, let us point out that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.